welcome to episode 33 of the Really Bad Mental Health Podcast. This is an exciting episode.
Already?
This is a super exciting episode. I think we've almost got to chuck the agenda out for the minute and just talk about what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Half.
Well, we stood up.
Woo!
We just decided today we're throwing caution to the wind and we are stood up. So me, Harves and Lise are all stood up. And I think it feels better.
It does feel better. It feels freer.
I don't know why we've not done it before.
I know. And it's like such a little change, but I'm getting results instantly.
Yeah. You can feel the feedback.
It feels like there's a bit more of a vibe.
Yeah. I mean, the listeners can't see the little dance you're doing right now. But
this is really cool. We should video this and do a vlog.
Oh, okay.
Vlog it.
Yeah, we should vlog it. Right, so few things we've got to talk about before we hit into the agenda. Sorry we're late. This is now the end of February. There was a few technical issues as to why we couldn't record earlier in the month. We have committed to the second Tuesday of every month, but we missed it through other things that we couldn't control. But here we are. And I need to just introduce someone quite quickly. Producer David, say hello.
Hello.
You can hear him now. Producer David's only gone and got his own mic.
Woo!
So now you can talk and people can hear. How are you, David?
I'm very well, thank you, Adam.
Excellent, excellent.
The thing is, he doesn't actually want to talk.
No, he doesn't. But the listeners want to hear him. When he does talk, the listeners want to hear.
Yes.
And we had multiple emails saying, if David's going to talk, we want to hear him.
Yeah.
So, Lise, take us through it. What happened?
Well, very kindly, we had an email just after Christmas, I think.
Yeah, it was around...
A message just after Christmas from a lovely lady, Vicky, who I know from... before podcasting.
And before you were famous.
Before I was famous, yeah. And she messaged to say that she was willing to donate, they do a thrift club each year, and she was willing to donate the interest that made to getting producer David a microphone.
Excellent.
And she was going to make, she very kindly made the rest up herself as well. So they donated, I think, was it £120?
It was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money. Yeah. I mean,
because microphones aren't cheap. For the people out there who deal in microphones,
and
you know
Vicky
they're not
made up
cheap.
The rest. Yeah. So that she can hear PD say something very profound, which I'm sure he's going to do tonight.
Yes, there's going to be a font of all knowledge coming in later. But what I do want to do is say to people, if you want to support us, you can. You can literally give us money. If you want
yeah,
us,
it's fine.
Buy us
yeah,
kit.
You can give us money. So we do need more kit. We need extra mic stands. We need leads. We need another two microphones. So we're still on the lookout for kit. So if there's anyone who's out there who loves the show, you can donate to us, which would be really, really cool.
Or contribute toward, because it is expensive.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If you want to give us 50p, that will help to go towards...
Every little helps.
Yeah, something that we need to buy.
So massive thank you to Vicky.
A huge thank you. Now, PD is also sat in front of a new shiny piece of kit. PD, press that top right button. Yeah!
That's all it is.
That's all it is, yeah. One noise.
When PD sits down and works his magic, he sits in front of what I believe is called a mixing desk. Stop me if I'm wrong, PD. Yep. And an amazing chap called Mike, who goes to Talk Club in Shaftesbury. I was talking to him about the podcast and saying, we need some more stuff. He listened to the podcast. He really, really liked what he heard and thought it was a really good thing to put out there and support, you know, other people who are struggling with their mental health or just want to dial in with some people they know. So he donated to help us buy this mixing desk, which is a
Rodecaster Pro 2.
Which, if you don't know what that is, you need to Google it. And it has got all these funky lights and all these funky buttons on it. And it's super cool. Press the yellow one. Press the yellow one. Ready? Amazing. We can't actually hear that.
But we know what the sound is.
So,
I believe that was the sad trombone.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was wah, wah, wah. Yeah, so we can't hear that. Only PD can with his headphones on. But we just want to give a shout out to the people out there, first things first, who are supporting us and helping us to bring you this amazing podcast. So it's really cool. And for us, the three of us, it's really nice to know that people
listen.
Yeah. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting, because it's amazing and it's humbling and people are so generous. We've said that a lot on this podcast, but people are so incredibly generous.
It's amazing. PD's now plugging in headphones so I can actually hear what we're talking about. It's going to freak me out a bit, I think.
Yeah,
so whilst I'm
voice.
Putting these funky headphones on, Harv, how are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, I think. A bit sleep deprived.
Yeah.
A bit sleep deprived because my brain does funny things to me at night. But generally, I've got to say, things are actually
What?
What?
You did tell me earlier that you're not sleeping very well at all.
Last night I didn't sleep well at all. I think I was, I said to you, I was about past 2 a.m, I was eating a bowl of cornflakes in my pants, sat on the sofa. I don't really know why I'm not sleeping very well, which is really, really annoying me. Because in the past when I've not slept well, I've been, well, this is what's going through my mind. This is what I need to deal with. But last night was just one of those restless nights. Really it's, annoying.
We've done an episode on this before, haven't we? Where sleep, we talked about sleep and we said how it is the cornerstone of life. Sleep is a massively important thing. So if there's anyone out there who is struggling with their sleep, go back and have a listen to that one.
I will.
Yeah. the hard thing for me is there's no rhyme or reason. One, why you don't go to sleep, and two, why you can't sleep, and three, how you fix it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And but it's a horrible thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of us have now got headphones on. Press one of them buttons, PD, so we can hear it. Go on, press one of them buttons.
Hey! That's a nice one. Oh, I don't like it. It's like listening to yourself on an answer phone.
Oh, no. So you hate listening to yourself on a voice note, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, although someone opened the window there.
The birds are tweeting.
Yeah, so Lisa does this funny thing that we voice note each other quite a lot, and I send voice notes, and then I send it, and it's gone. What Lisa does is records a voice note, listens to herself back, and if she doesn't like it, deletes it and then redoes it. Which is crazy, but that's why we love you, Lee. So, how are you?
Well, I could have kept Harv's company at 2 o'clock last night because I was also awake because I've got a bad shoulder at the moment.
Oh, man.
Which probably isn't as bad as yours, but it's been giving me a bit of jip and pain and I couldn't get comfy last night.
Gym injury?
I think so. I've had it on and off over the years and it just comes back and gets aggravated. And
yeah.
It's just flared up and it hurts a lot.
That's no fun.
And it makes me want to cry. But there we go. It's fine. But yeah, apart from the bad shoulder, I'm well. I've also got some new hearing aids, which is very exciting in my life. Because
well, you can hear. That's a really good thing.
Because I can now hear. I have struggled with my hearing for a very long time and I finally went and did something about it. And it took a little while to come through on the NHS. But they're
fine. But did you have a moment where you were like, oh my God?
Weird because when you first put them on, like I struggle. He said it would take about 6 weeks for your brain to adjust to the new, like the sound, because like everything is loud now. So I can hear, it's the stuff you don't want to hear, you then hear. So I can hear people like opening bags of crisps really loudly and like in our office, people are eating and I can hear them eating and I'm like, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear what they're saying.
But hearing doesn't work like that, does it?
No.
We don't just get to hear the bits we want and ignore the other bits.
So yeah, so it's,
although it's, I have been accused of, I've been accused
of
that.
You can turn them down.
That's the thing, you can turn them off.
But yeah, it's made a massive difference.
Do they connect to an app on your phone as well?
They do. So I can now listen to voice notes and like when my phone rings, it goes through my hearing aid. So I can hear it in my ears rather than like holding the phone up. I could answer the phone now and I would hear you in my ears.
Can you connect it to Spotify as well?
Yeah. So yeah, I've been listening to a book while I've been working the last week.
She probably shouldn't say that on it.
No, I don't think anyone listens at work. It's the one about something about chemistry.
Oh, Lessons in Chemistry.
Lessons in Chemistry.
Brilliant. Absolutely
yeah,
fantastic.
Everyone said it's a really good book. I started to read it and then I was like, I'm going to listen to this.
Yeah, fantastic.
So yeah, book. I'm enjoying really it. Yeah,
There's a series on Sky as well.
Oh, is there?
Lessons in Chemistry, yeah. Oh,
yes.
Definitely worth a watch.
Series, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So I'm apart from that, I'm pretty good, yeah. New hearing aids.
Good.
Bad shoulder.
Good.
But yeah, life's all right.
And what about you?
Oh, here we go. you should have seen his little pose when he asked that. Right now in this very moment, I'm good. I'm really good. It's cool seeing you guys and hanging out and we've definitely had a laugh. And I feel really good right now. The last couple of weeks have been really, really difficult. I won't lie. I went to see my therapist for just a check-in because the end of last year was pretty tough. And she was like, she messaged me and said, "Do you even want to come and see me today?" And I was like, "Yeah, I will. I need to speak to you." And it was that what alcoholics would refer to as the moment of clarity, mm-hmm. when someone totally disconnected from my family and my close friends says, "You're not okay. You're on the edge of burnout. If you carry on, this is not going to end well." And I was like, holy shit, I didn't even see that. And I thought that having struggled in the past, I was almost immune to that. And I'm really not. So I've made some changes instantly. And that's helping. And being here and doing this is a really good thing. But yeah, it's been tough. But right now I'm good. I mean, right now in this moment, I'm good. And that's the thing that matters because it's all about right now. So yeah, I'm okay.
Good. I mean, we've had this conversation, haven't we? We spoke a lot over the weekend. So I know And if anybody was close to burning out, it's the guy that's the relentless man.
Yeah.
In the corner there.
Yeah.
So you got to look after yourself.
Yeah, and like again, it's that the difficult thing for me is it's not one thing. There's a million things.
Mm.
But the way it's come out, which is not good, is like I'm losing my temper really quickly, and that's not a cool thing. So, you know, I've made some instant changes, which are trying to get off social media a little bit. Not that I've had a trigger that's thought, don't be on social media. I'm just like, yeah, I'll give myself some space for that. Hanging out with friends, chatting, you know, doing the things I like, getting back in the pool. That's been a really good thing. She said to me, she said, you need space from everything. You need to find space. And she said, where can you most relax? And I said, the funny thing is my most relaxing place is in the water, because no one can distract you. And she said, and I kind of didn't think about it. She said, and you're regulating your breathing. You have to think about your breathing.
Yeah. And you haven't been able to do that, have you, with your arm? Like, you've not been able to go swimming. So that's probably played.
It's almost like a meditation.
And I got in the pool, and the first wave of water going over me, I was like, it was like a breath of fresh air. Wow. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I realized, because I didn't swim from November until a week ago. And it was hard work, man, getting back in the pool.
It's a long time not to do something like that, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
my shoulder's not been great, but it's slowly getting better. And I went this morning and I did like 20 lengths, which is nothing for what I used to do, but really positive, you know? And like leaving my phone at home when I go out for a walk, and I turn the notifications off on this glitzy watch that I talked about in the last episode. And it's a great watch. I love it. It does all these amazing things, but I don't care that someone's emailing me.
You're like
about
always connected, aren't you?
Yeah, man. So I was just like, I turned the notifications off, and things like that have helped. So yeah, it's been tough, but you know, it's good to be here and chatting to you guys, and it always helps. And I hope if there's anyone out there who is, you know, like me, probably doing too much and not looking after yourself, that you can get some peace out of this podcast. So that'd be cool.
I would.
Mm.
Should we talk about what's been going on?
Let's talk about what's been going on.
I'm going to throw it over to you, Lise.
Oh, okay. So from last month's episode, we talked about looking forward positively. And I've been doing some things to kind of try and emphasise what we talked about with that, because I felt I took quite a lot away from that episode, in the sense of like the different things we can do to like look forward. And not
anything in particular?
Not really.
She's got rid of all the mirrors in her car.
I've worked quite hard on just like living in the now, like you were saying, like in the moment.
Yeah, and that's what I mean, right now.
Because nothing else really matters, does it? You know, you can worry about things in the past, you can worry about things that are going to happen, but actually all that really matters is...
Why do we find that so hard?
I don't know.
It's so true though. You can live your life in the past or in the future, but we forget about the bit that's the most important bit, which is now.
Literally right now.
I went to watch Bridget Jones last week, and there's a line in that where her dad says to her, can you survive? Like, because he's ill and he's passing away. And he, can you survive? And she's like, of course I can survive. I've got to. And he's like, I don't want you just to survive. I want you to live. And that like really, because I think a lot of us like survive, don't we? And just like, so you probably at the moment have been
just
feeling
exist.
That. We're just existing. And like things like that, I've kind of tried to think, actually, no, you need to live and enjoy what you're doing, don't you? And just like make the most of it, because no one knows, do we? We don't know.
You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
So true, so obvious, yet somehow so difficult.
Yeah. So I've been working on that anyway. So I really enjoyed last month's episode.
Oh, that's good.
I took a lot away from it.
Well, and I think we had quite a bit of positive feedback from it. So I think, you know, people out there enjoyed it as well.
Yeah.
And again, something so simple to talk about, but people were feeding back and saying how incredibly connecting it was, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. So, Harves, let's have a little charity update. Little charity, mate.
Little charity, mate.
There's some people from the 90s who remember that.
Yeah, Smashy and Nicey.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And they had headphones like this.
They did. Oh, it's all coming together. So the charity, there is, let's start with the most recent meeting we had, which was ball related. So the charity ball has been set. The date is out there. I think we sent an email out, saved the date, 13th of September. Which is a Saturday, doing it at the Brush and Broomhill Brush again, because it was just such a wonderful event last year and they did a great job.
Tickets go on sale.
1st of April.
1st of April.
Oh, I got that right.
Yeah, it is the 1st of April. Yeah, people who came last year or didn't come last year, watch out on the socials, get on our website, they'll be for sale.
Yep, so that's plans are afoot for that. We've got, there's a charity tractor run. happening on the 23rd of March, which I think I'm right in saying a tractor run is lots of tractors meeting up and driving in convoy.
Did you see the one at Christmas?
Yeah, it was mega.
It was amazing.
Wasn't it?
I mean, I don't really like a tractor. I'm not agricultural in any way.
Who doesn't like a tractor, though?
But my dad would have loved it. I watched it out the window. And then, like, everyone was beeping. Everyone was like,
do you see them? And they were all lit up. And
everyone was out on the streets, like, clapping them. I was like, this is real.
It was
rural,
like carnival.
But it was lovely,
it?
Yeah.
Like carnival.
So that's hosted or set up by Will and Molly Mogridge. And we are one of the beneficiaries of that. So
yes, thank you. Amazing. That's big thanks to them. And big shout out to Pamplemousse, if you're listening, Molly.
Give us some flowers.
I'm just looking at my notes here. The next
sponsor the next episode with a bunch of flowers.
With a bunch of flowers that will look nice.
And we'll definitely have a coffee and cakes because the coffee they do is fantastic. And the cakes are really amazing.
Yeah.
If no one knows, next time you're in Shaftesbury, it's a place called Pamplemousse in town. Fantastic coffee and cake. Go there.
The next thing on my list is a coffee trailer. And I don't want to trigger any kind of raw emotion as I look sideways at Mr. Collins. But it is back on the road and we are back out in it this weekend.
Can I just give a quick highlight of what happened?
Yeah,
with the
please,
coffee trailer?
Please do, yeah.
So the truck that we use to tow the coffee trailer isn't actually ours. We borrow that and the brakes went on it and the back wheel was totally seized up. You couldn't move it. So I was flying to Canada on the Sunday. So on the Saturday, I think it was the Friday afternoon, I had it apart, realised it was the rear brakes, went and ordered the bits, got them, did it on the Saturday before I flew to Canada on the Sunday, knowing that there was a coffee trailer on the Saturday afterwards.
We returned, yeah.
So I was like, sweet, the truck is fixed. We're good to go. Phoned half, said, yep, green light, we're all good to go. Friday afternoon, so I flew back to the UK on Thursday night, got home like midnight. It was the day it was snowing in Shaftesbury on the Friday. And I was starting the generator. Now, it's a generator we hadn't used before, but I was like, yeah, I reckon it's man enough to power it. So in the snow, I'm trying to start this generator that I don't know when it was last started, but it took me ages. Eventually got it going in the snow, plugged it in, and I was like, oh, man. So then it's now like 6 o'clock in the evening. I'm phoning around trying to get a generator. Luckily, Charlie from CPD Specialist Works said, I'll lend you one. Mate, you're a legend. Thanks very much. Drove around there, picked it up, bought it back, put it in the back of the truck. Right, we're all set for tomorrow. We're all good. We've got a generator. The truck's fixed. Cool. Half rocks up. You know, our alarm went off at 5:45, I think
it was.
Yeah,
early one.
You rocked up to our house at 5:30 in the morning. You were doing the water. You were filling up the water in the side locker as I was trying to hook it onto the back of the truck. And it sort of jolted, didn't it?
Yeah.
And what we use is a piece of wood to hold up the door so that you can get in to fix the water. That piece of wood snapped. Half took the whole weight of the door in the back.
I think I woke your neighbour up.
Yeah, it was like one of those ooh sounds, do you know what I mean? Like when it knocks the wind out, yeah? And then, we kind of giggled about that. Went inside, grabbed a coffee. So, right, let's go. You know, it was cold, it was wet, wasn't it? It was a horrible morning. All get in. Go to pull it off the driveway and it wouldn't move. The trailer wouldn't move. And the next thing you know, office lady's running around like waving her hands in the air going, stop, stop, stop. Did you hear the tyres just popped? Bloody tyre popped on that. So we reversed it up and scrapped it.
Yeah.
But no, the truck is now fixed. We haven't sorted a generator, but we will get one by Saturday.
Yeah.
And we've put 4 new tyres on the trailer. So we're good.
Yeah.
We're good to go.
Yes.
that was a long story. Sorry about that.
That was the coffee trailer update. We're out and about on Saturday. But you won't hear this, will you?
You'll hear this after the event.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's a non-eventful event and we can find a generator.
Yeah, and we'll be back out more frequently doing coffee trailers because we know they're important. Joe Butler's Yeovil Half Marathon.
Yes, next month.
Does Joe listen to this?
I don't know. I've done a little post about it today.
Yeah, that got loads of love.
Yeah, she did a really nice
bit
about why she was doing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's really like, I don't know, like you said, like running was like the one thing that helps her with her mental health and gives her some clarity. And she said, you know, she was fortunate enough to have some friends around her and the support she needed when she needed help.
Oh, amazing.
And she's like, you know, I want to be able to give that to someone who hasn't got that. And I've just thought,
I ran past her. I think she was running in Shaftesbury and I ran past her and said, oh, well done, keep going as I do, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it was her, but I'm not 100% sure. Can you message her and tag her in this post to say we talked about you? Because she works at the same place I do.
She works at Leonardo's.
But I don't know if she knows that I know she works there.
Oh, I'll ask her.
Yeah, we'll have to. Yeah. We'll have to have a chat about that.
Yeah.
Well, so she works in the building opposite me.
She's doing the over half.
Yeah, fair play to her.
That's brilliant.
Half marathon. It's a long way.
It is a long way.
I always hate the word half in front of it because it makes it sound like
13 miles.
Yeah, it's a 13 miler, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it should be.
And there's two horrible hills in the over half.
Yeah, the one up by Cooper's Mill where you've got to go up there. I can't think what the name of that hill is, but that's a big old hill.
Yeah, not very nice.
You did it with your brother, didn't you?
I did do it with my brother, yeah. I got to like mile 11 and I was like, go on without me, I can't do any more. That was really dramatic. I was like, I didn't too many Haribo around the way because people are like out on the streets. And I got to 11, I had a stitch. I was like, I can't do any more.
Go
on without me. And he's like, don't be so dramatic. Like, let's just run.
It was like a scene out of Platoon, wasn't it? Shifty did that with no training whatsoever.
I know.
That's like my brother. He just runs.
Rocked up.
She's looking forward to it and hopefully raising some money.
And good luck. Good luck, Joe.
Right. The next one, I'm going to let you talk about.
Because I had FOMO when I realised what she was doing.
Oh, really? Well, you know the subject. So I'm going to let you.
Lindsay Pledger, who works at Rivers Meet, who.
I went to school with her. Legend.
She is a legend. She does some PT and down there. She's a gym manager, I think.
We won't talk about last year's summer ball where she was stood on a table dancing. We won't talk about
that. We won't mention that.
She likes a pie.
Yeah, she does. Did you tag her in this as well? Yeah. So she listens. She was hammered drunk.
She's doing the 50K Jurassic Coast Walk in May.
Amazing.
And I had massive FOMO when I was talking to her about it. I was like, oh, I wish I was doing it again.
Is it you don't have to walk it though, you can run it,
you can run it, you can walk it, you can crawl it.
I was wondering what you were going to say next then.
Mechanical bear crawler.
A lot of people are crawling up the hills.
Yeah.
So she is raising some money for us as well. She's got Just Giving page if anyone would like to donate.
Amazing.
And good luck, because that is a very grueling
it's a long way
course. It's the hills, man, like as well as the distance.
So Leon, he contacted me because he was going to do...
Oh, he was going to do them all, wasn't he?
Yeah, but who's the event manager?
Action Challenge.
Action Challenge. He was going to do all of the events. So Leon is someone who has supported us massively in the past by doing some relatively big challenges. And he wanted to do every single one that they put on. Logistically, it's almost impossible with a job. You know, you can't do it. So he's now entered a race that is like one of these ones where you start and you don't stop until you fall over.
Oh, wow. Where's that? Yeah.
I think it's in Portland, I want to say. I don't know. I can't
see. So you just see how far you can go?
Yeah, you've got like, you know, it's a 3 mile route or whatever, and you just keep running it until, you know, last man standing.
Oh, man.
That is a test against your head, isn't it?
That is.
Mm. So he's doing that.
And just a little loop like that. That's not long, is it?
Loves a challenge, that boy.
Hopefully he's coming along Saturday to the coffee trader and going to chat about it.
Let's find out some more.
Can I ask some questions?
Have you got a question?
Email your question.
How's everyone finding the headphones?
Weird.
I've adjusted now.
I'm loving this.
Yeah. I have to turn my hearing aids down because I feel like I'm shouting.
No, you're not shouting. This is like a game changer. I feel like we're professionals. Do you?
It's nice to feel that way.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It feels
Why is it so different hearing it through
these?
We're
stood up. We've all got our headphones on. We've got this new mixing desk. Can
you pick up your mic and tell us why it's so different?
Hang on. Do you want that?
Yeah, I do. I want to know why it sounds so different.
You will get an explanation.
Yeah.
Go on, PD. Why does it sound different?
You've asked a question. Oh, this is what you paid for, guys.
He even cleared
this is what you paid for.
Here he comes. Oh, he's too busy bloody giggling. Oh, now he's coughing.
Yeah. Oh, we set him off.
You want to switch to a Marlboro brand there, PD? You've been on their Marlboro Reds. Here he comes.
Always.
Here he goes.
Always Reds.
Oh, I can hear PD now.
Yeah, we can hear PD.
So it's because, it's a bit obvious really, but it's because the... no, I mean...
Kick you.
I mean, it's like because you've got the sound is right in your head. So it cuts out all the extraneous sound.
Yeah, it sounds like when I listen to it back and when I'm walking along.
And also, the kit is doing some processing, so it's tidying everything up. And
is it giving us nicer voices?
Is that a decent bit of kit?
Yes. So it's, very nice.
I mean, it looks cool. Press one of them buttons again.
One we haven't had before.
Oh, no. I can't do that from there.
He likes that one.
Is that working?
Is this amazing?
Yeah, we heard it.
Oh, you heard it.
I feel like this is like Chris Moyles as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because Chris Moyles and the guys, they used to just talk random stuff, and that's what we're doing now.
Yeah, the agenda's become sort of like...
Yeah. Because we're just so excited about the new stuff. But we will get back to the agenda. In fact, on that note, let's get back to it.
Well, there's just one more thing I was going to add on the running front because...
Just one more thing.
We ran. Columbo.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Well, you did the Long Leap 10K.
Beautiful day.
How was that in the rain? You couldn't have picked a worse day, really, could you?
That'll be the hardest 10K we do this year.
I mean, it unbelievably difficult course because you, if anyone's been to Longleat, which there'll be listeners out there who've been, you don't realise how hilly that area is.
No.
Because Longleat House is at the bottom of the hill.
I suppose you drive down it, don't you? Like,
yeah, and you just...
Did you run around the grounds?
Have you ever done it?
No.
So you start facing the house, which is the opposite way to what I thought, and you run towards the house and turn left towards the car park and then left and you go up into the hills. Ooh. And you get
Did
out.
You go past the safari park?
No. So you get up to the Bath
Arms.
Bath Arms. Yeah. You run up to there, then you do a little loop through the village and then come back down towards the house. That's first lap. Then you went through towards the safari park or through the centre of Longleat and then out the back, up another ridiculously steep hill. But whilst we're doing this, it was probably 1 degree, raining, torrentially raining.
Horizontal rain.
And, I don't know, gusts of 35, 40 mile an hour.
Yeah.
Ugh. And everywhere you seemed to turn, the rain was in your face.
It was close to being called off, I learnt. But,
oh, was it?
Yeah, but it wasn't. And we did it, though, and... I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I loved that feeling afterwards.
Yeah.
You're back in a warm car.
I was cold. Yeah. So, like, we finished, didn't we? And we had expectations to go and, you know, with the family, we're going to
lunch, coffee.
Yeah, we'll go. And I was like, dude, I've got to go. I'm freezing. Because as soon as you stop running and you're being hit with wind and cold rain, instantly I was cold.
Yeah.
So we head straight back to the car, got naked in the car. Because that was the only way you could do it. And I said to Nick, well, I'll take a towel. Oh, do you think we need one? Yeah. Have you seen the weather? So stripped off and it was good though, wasn't it? It was a really good event. It was nice.
I really enjoyed it and I'm looking forward to twisting your arm into doing some
What's your
runs.
Next one? Have you got one planned?
Yeah. So it's one of those things, isn't it? Of like, we're training for a marathon.
Yes.
And we want that to happen. But you don't run loads of events.
No.
So when we first sort of said about it, we were like, oh, yeah, we'll do loads of events. We'll do all of these and all of these. And then the more I've thought about it is like, I'll probably do one half marathon between now and then, and that's it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because that's all I really need to do. But, you know.
But it was from a bad cove point of view, all the gear.
No idea.
Oh, yeah, literally, yeah. Getting out there.
Yeah.
I loved the buzz of it. I think I will definitely do some more.
Yeah. You're doing Devizes, isn't you?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be doing Devizes, which is a half marathon.
There's a Sherborne one, isn't there, soon?
There's a 5K in Sherborne.
There's 5 and 10, isn't there?
There's a 10 as well, is there?
Yeah.
So. I mean, that's the thing nowadays, there are loads.
Oh, I tell you what, this is like, I did parkrun.
Yeah, you love that.
Oh man, have you ever done a parkrun?
No, but I've heard good things.
Holy smokes,
did you do the Blandford one?
Yeah, went and did the Blandford one. It's run by some like ex-military guy, so it is organised. And it was really good. Out and back, there's kids, there's dogs, there's like fast guys, slow guys. If there's anyone listening who ever thinks, oh, I'd love to get in a run-in, absolutely go do a park run. You could walk it and no one would think anything.
Yeah.
And then when you come over the line, you have a barcode and it gives you a time. It doesn't tell you like what the winner got. It tells you what your time was and where you placed in your age group. And really, really good. Really good. Oh, part run, a game changer for me.
Ah.
Yeah.
They were trying to do one in Shaftesbury, weren't they?
Well, we've tried to get involved in that, but it's quite a difficult thing to organise because you've got to start and stop on a flat. There's not allowed to be any traffic.
Mm.
And you need someone who doesn't mind 50 to 100 people turning up on your land every Saturday.
Yeah.
And of course you need volunteers and, you know,
it's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd want to be running it, not organising it.
Yeah.
So, but if there is anyone out there who's got a load of land who says, yeah, you can do it on mine and it's dead flat and you've got a 3K loop, 5K,
let us 5K, 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 5K yeah.
Then let us know. So we're not asking for much, only loads of money for podcast equipment and some
money and land.
Flowers, coffee, cake, and some land.
Yeah, that's it really.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Podcast done this week.
No, we're not done, are we?
No, we've got a subject, didn't
we? Oh, we got a subject, have we? What is that? Can we do a drum roll on that, PD?
Oh, there must be a drum roll.
No.
You'll have to read the book.
Oh, that's a symbol.
That's for a joke.
That's a hi-hat.
You need
I'll
to pick
remember
up
that button.
PD, you need to pick up the mic.
It's a rim shot.
Oh.
Put the mic down,
Should we just call it a hi-hat?
No, it's a rim shot.
I bet you can download sounds into that funky-looking thing. We need to get a drum roll in there.
He sounds like DJ. Like,
he is like smashing DJ. And welcome to tonight's
There we go.
That sounds like Mario World.
That's amazing.
Possibly the worst piece of music ever. Oh, there we go.
What are we tuned into this week?
Whoever's out there listening to this is smiling right now because the four of us
they
are.
Better be smiling because or crying. I don't know.
That's fantastic.
Right, like the subject. I feel like we were having all the wrong noises in relation to a serious
PD, take that thing home and have a little play with it over the next couple of weeks.
Maybe put some sound effects on there for
you. I'd like that. Yeah. I'd like a shot as well. Like, pew!
I like a lion's roar.
A lion. Yes, they need a lion's roar.
People
out there.
Oh, you echoed. What was that? Echo.
Hello?
Oh. Hello? I don't think we should be playing.
Let press that button and I'll say the topic.
Okay.
Go on, do it. Do it.
Stand by.
Stress buckets.
Oh, it didn't work. Oh, it only works for mine. Oh, my God. The topic for today is stress buckets.
Buckets, buckets, buckets.
Right, stress buckets, which hopefully our listeners out there are thinking, what are these absolute nutters? Well, they're thinking.
I'm thinking what's a stress bucket.
Yeah. So, Harv, what is a stress bucket?
A stress bucket, or a stress container, as it's referred to on the notes in front of me, is a, I guess, like a model, if you like, that a tool for using to sort of review your stress signature, really, work out the things that contribute to your stress, how much your bucket can handle, and how you deal with those things, and how you relieve.
What did you say earlier? Yours is a grenade.
my bucket at the moment is a hand grenade.
Yeah. Some people's buckets are bigger than other people's buckets.
Yeah.
So can I jump in?
Buckets do vary.
Yeah. So the way we do a similar sort of thing in a fire service, and it's everyone's got a bucket. Everyone carries it, whether you know it or not, and all your stress is put in it. And one day, if you don't do things to help your own mental health, that bucket will overflow. Okay. And that's the way we look at it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Harv, go on, carry on.
No, that's absolutely right. It's a really good description. So thank you for that.
Well, in the fire service, they make really simple things.
Yeah.
So that people go, oh yeah, I get that. Like, point the whites, the blue stuff at the red stuff. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, but it is simple. It is really simple. We are, you know, we do have a bucket, as it were. And we need to work out how we deal with the things that go into our bucket. And there are some questions that this little tool wants us to ask ourselves. And I think the first one is the one that's probably the most poignant for me, and it's what can I change or manage differently? Because you can't change some things.
Yes.
So it's how you then deal with the things that you can't change. And how that then relates to your stress bucket, i.e. is there something going on that you're getting really, really stressed about or you get really wound up about that you can't actually change? And then how do you square that circle? How do you deal with that then? How do you release the pressure of that thing if you can't do anything about it, but it's stressing you out?
So I get what you're saying. And I think the way I try to manage it, and don't get me wrong, I've not like completed mental health. I'm not standing there saying done. The way I try to manage it is when I have moments like I've had recently, I go back a little bit and I go, right, what makes me happy? What is good for my health and what is bad for my health? Good for my health, exercise, hanging out with people, walking, laughing, having fun. What is fun? Fun might be me messing around with my motorbike.
So these are your coping strategies.
Coping strategies. Seeing a counsellor is like one of the top for me of things I need to do to empty that bucket. Now, what it won't do is me going for a swim won't empty that bucket. But what it will do is take a little bit off the top and it will take a slice off that. And if I do 10 things that I know will make me feel better, that will take 10 slices off of that bucket and it will help empty it. Something might happen the next day that fills it up again, and then I need to work on it again.
Yeah.
But also the things that I don't do is things that I know are detrimental for my health. Like I know spending hours scrolling Instagram.
Unhelpful coping strategies.
Is unhelpful. Hanging out with people who sometimes drain your...
Yes.
Yeah.
And we all have them in our lives and we love them, but there's people who can be detrimental to your mental health because
especially when you're struggling, isn't it? Like, sometimes you can cope with it.
Yeah.
And then other times you're like, I've got too much going on in my own life. And I need, yeah, there
goes back into the drama triangle. Do you remember we talked about that before when you're the rescuer?
Yes.
Being people's rescuer. Yeah, yeah. Adds to your bucket. So
yeah, funny enough, in my most recent counselling session, the drama triangle came up.
Yeah.
Which is another good little model.
Well, it came up in mine as well, because it's like you want to help everyone. And what we do in Brave and Determined, we're trying to help everyone, but we can't help everyone. And the Brave and Determined adds a massive stress to our lives that we can generally cope with when things are good. But there are times when you go, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. I need to look after me. As we've said before.
Stress container is full.
Yeah, absolutely. And put your oxygen mask on first before you help others. There's a reason why they say that.
Yeah, it's really important. And we've repeated it a few times, but it is really important. Lise.
Yes.
Tell us about your stress bucket.
How do you prioritise the things that are in your stress bucket?
I've never even thought about my stress bucket.
Really?
To be honest, no.
Is this like the first?
Yeah.
Because
when Harv mentioned it about is what you did it at work, didn't you?
Yeah, we did it as part of a. I should shout out the training provider. Actually, Total Wellbeing Matters.
What
local,
do they do?
Local mental health plumbing, weirdly. which is why they talk about buckets and taps.
Yeah.
local company. Really good training. Really good training.
But this basically
heartfelt
came up.
Training.
It came up in your work, didn't it?
In my work, mental health training, yeah.
And as we said before in the pod, what we do is we put a little shout out and say, what's the topic? And Harv said this. So I instantly recognised it as something that a model that I've used before. Yours is more a strategic view. Ours is a more like simple firefighter view. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Talk about
like,
it.
That's why
go
this one's
exercise.
Referred to as a container and you call yours a bucket.
Yeah, because all the firefighters can go, I know what a bucket is, put water in it.
Yeah. But yeah, I haven't ever thought about my stress bucket, but I imagine my stress bucket is very full.
Oh, you think it's full right now?
I think generally I'm quite stressed a lot of the time.
And what are your coping strategies?
They're not. That's one thing I've learned from this podcast is that I don't do a lot of like active work, I suppose, to deal with things.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, say, like from last month's one, when we were talking about the things that you do to actively like change things, I don't do a lot of work on it. Like, I did when I went through my counselling, I did because I literally had to each week go back and report on what I'd done. But the point at which,
homework.
Yeah, I love that. I used to go in and be like,
She's so, like, can I have a sticker for my fridge?
I've done it.
When it's coming from, when somebody else is telling you to do it,
yeah,
you can do it.
Yeah, but when it's actually left to me, I don't really think about it, I don't think.
That's I find that really interesting, yeah. Liz, because what we do and what we talk about, and then you say, yeah, basically, you know, what you're saying is, well, yeah, once I've done a podcast, I don't think about it and I walk away. Like the idea is, I think, that we're talking about.
Like now I am realising that I need to do a lot more work on my own back.
Do you not like, so at the moment when I'm hypersensitive to, I need to put myself in a better place, I open my eyes in the morning and think, what am I going to do to make today a good day? Do you not think like that?
No. I probably get to the point where I'm like, so stressed I just have a massive cry over something little, and then that makes me feel a bit better for a little while.
But do you know what's detrimental? What did you say, Harv? What was the words? What's the
coping strategies? Or?
No, the bad stuff that you put in your bucket. What's that called?
Like the things that add to your
stress. Like the word in here,
the negative
is unhelpful coping strategies.
So unhelpful coping strategies, Instagram. So do you recognise what is unhelpful, and do you do something to stop that?
I recognise it, but I don't do anything to stop it. I had a conversation with my old neighbours at the beginning of the year. We were talking about Instagram and I was like, I need to stop looking at it because I'm spending so much time looking at it. And it, like you say, it doesn't necessarily always make me feel negative about my, I'm not like, it's not that
no,
I compare
I'm not like
myself,
that,
but I'm just wasting so much time.
Yeah,
I'm just like, why am I even looking at this? Like,
I'm not, don't get me wrong. Like me having a break from social media isn't because I'm looking at other people and thinking their life's better than mine. It's just that I know doom scrolling through.
Yeah. Like
stuff,
it doesn't do anything.
Trying
for
to
you,
get that
it? Yeah.
Dopamine hit in my head and not seeing anything that is
and, like,
remotely
I think it
interesting.
It physically affects my, like.
So why don't you try to lessen that.
I know. I need to.
Yeah, but why don't you?
I don't
question.
Know. It's a habit. It's an addiction, I suppose, isn't it? A habit. Like, it's, you know, the first thing I do in the morning.
Oh, it's definitely a habit.
Is
yeah.
look at it. And, you know, like if I'm at work and I've got a bit of a break, I'll log on and have a little sit down and look at it there. And
because
I'll get home.
I just mentioned the dopamine word because it does give you a hit.
And once you start, you can't stop.
And yes, what you think about, people think about when they wake
but
up.
Yeah, I don't really think about the. I mean, I know what stress
is. Can you do something for me?
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning, when you wake up, have a think to yourself and think, what positive things am I going to do for my own mental health today?
Okay.
And write it down.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to spend less time on Instagram. And because if you write it down, you're almost holding yourself to an account and you're writing it to say, this is what I'm going to do. You know, I don't want to, you know, tell you how to live your life. No. But what I'm saying is try it.
Yeah.
Just try it for a couple of days and say, right, today I'm going to do more of this because that's good and less of this. And sometimes, you know, we always, I think we're three advocates of exercise is good for your mental health, but I think it can have a detrimental effect as well. So why don't you as well give yourself a guilt-free rest day? I bet you haven't done that since about 1987.
No. Yeah, you said that to me earlier on. You probably don't remember saying it. You said something, I said something about like last year and you were like, yeah, you weren't in a great place last year because I was in the gym like twice a day.
No, leading towards Christmas.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to find lease, go to the gym.
But that is like someone being in a pub.
Yeah.
And like we look at that and think that person's in the pub all the time. That's bad for him. But no one thinks, gosh, she's in the gym too much.
No.
It's that balance word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've gone totally off topic.
Yeah,
here.
Sorry.
Well, no, I mean, it's all related, isn't it?
Yeah. And they, you know, because we're talking about strategies. In the one sense, the gym helps me cope, but I also know I turn to it when things aren't great. But I go there because that's what I'm not thinking about anything else.
Instagram helps me because it's funny and I like being on Instagram, but it can have a detrimental effect. And I suppose that's it. With everything in life, if you, even the most positive things can have a detrimental effect if you do it too much.
Mm.
And that could increase the
water in
unhealthy,
your
yes,
yeah. unhealthy coping strategy. Yes. What were you saying?
Water in your bucket. In your bucket.
Well, yeah, it would. Yeah. It would. Yeah, it would.
So what sort of thing, like, does it say on there, what sort of things are, you have to find your own coping strategy?
Yeah, there's no...
I know what's good and bad for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but there's no one thing, you know, one size fits all type, you know, scenario.
And I suppose some level of stress.
But it's also...
Well, you have to. Good. Like,
You can't eradicate it.
Yeah, you need to be effective at work and some stress helps with that. But it's also thinking about the things that are filling up your stress bucket.
Yeah.
And whether they...
Need to be in there.
Need to be in there. If you can't do anything about it, as hard as it is, it needs to stop wasting... You need to stop wasting your energy on it.
Yeah.
If you can't change it, you can't change it.
There's a really good thing. Mal Robbins has done her Let Them book. And she did a podcast talking about it. And she says a thing about that. Like, the things that are stressing you out, if you think every day how, like, you were giving them money. So if you were actually having to, every time you thought about something that's stressing you out or was something negatively affecting you, you gave them £10.
Yeah, it's too costly.
Look at how much money you'd give it.
Yeah.
And is it worth it, kind of thing, which I guess is the same... Same sort of thing.
We do. For some reason, we do. We're wired that way and we think about things that we either can't impact or we can't change at that moment in time. And we let them have all this real estate in our brains and take up our time and energy and take us away from the present, as we were talking about earlier. And it's such a waste.
What do you do as your coping strategies?
Well, I've been distracted there. Yes. I don't do that all the time.
We should have videoed that.
No, we shouldn't. No. I actually do this exercise now since I've learned this, and Ad said about writing things down, because I have to write, like, I spend most of my day writing little reminders and jobs and things that I need to do and things on my hand, because that's, otherwise I forget everything. And I've just added that to the things I write down on a daily basis.
Okay.
And what's bothering me, sometimes writing it down is enough.
Yeah.
And you've named it.
Definitely.
And you've moved on from it. So that's one thing. But I think definitely trying to understand the things that you can't impact or you can't change.
Yeah.
And just thinking about what it is that you're actually worried about, or stressed or anxious about, and coming up with a strategy to change it if you can. But if you can't, you've just got to fuck it off, which is much easier said than done.
I think that... It's a good bit of advice there. I think that for me, if your day can start in a positive manner, that sets up the 24 hours in front of you. So every day I get up and make my bed, because if I make my bed, then that's one job done. And if everything else goes shit, I come home to a nice made bed. So that's job number one. Tick, make the bed every day.
Love
make
that.
The bed.
Yeah.
Every single day. Job done. So I'm productive. I have not even left the bedroom yet and I've done something. Then I do what Harv does. I write down notes to remind myself of things I need to do, because otherwise my head is going all over this stuff I've got to get done. So the way I do it is I email myself So I email myself things I need to remember. Then when I get to work, or, you know, I get to a moment where I've got some quiet, I then write a list. Right, these are the things I need to do today, and this is how I'm going to cope. I haven't gone to the point of writing down what's good or bad for me, or how I feel, or how I'm going to shut something out. But I am extremely mindful, especially like at the moment with the way I'm kind of feeling, I'm extremely mindful of the good things and the bad things. Mm-hmm. And I try to subconsciously eradicate the bad things and do the good things. So don't eat late at night. Cut down on coffee. Try not to, you know, try to exercise, but in a positive way. I wasn't looking at just there, Lise, because we've all been there. Yeah. We've all been addicted to the gym because we're running from something.
Yeah.
You know, Instagram, social media, people, you know, if there's people at work that you cannot get away from, like Harv says, you can't just, you know, sack that person or eradicate them from your life. You've got to cope with them. But if everything else feels a little bit better, then you can cope with them in a better way. Yeah. Or limit your access to them and say, if I go in the tea room now and they've just walked in, I'm gonna have to talk to them, so I'm not gonna get a tea now. I'll get it in a minute. You know, yeah. Walk a different way to the toilet, something like that. Yeah, no, you know,
makes sense.
That's some good advice. And yeah, you've got some homework, Lise.
I have got some homework. I'll come next time.
Well, just give it a go, you know, and then we'll cover on the next one and just say, you know, if it helped or not. I mean, and it's try and do those couple of positive steps before you've even got out of bed. And that's one, how am I going to have a good day today? Mm-hmm. And two, achieve before you've even left your bedroom by making your bed.
I do make my bed.
Yeah.
I do that.
Do.
You said do.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. I think that's really good though, Harv. Can we share that on socials?
Yeah,
you can
definitely
share
that on socials.
Because sure. I think it's definitely worth the drama triangle as well. Maybe we'll talk about that on the next one. Yeah. Have we covered that in a previous one?
No, we haven't. I think we've talked about it off grid. But
Definitely go through the drama triangle because that's a really good... Because we're all the victim, the persecutor and the rescuer.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've got the stress continuum as well.
What's that?
Oh.
It sounds like someone else.
Sound effects guy.
Yeah, come on. Da-da-da. Hang on.
Oh, he doesn't know
pause
that.
For a minute.
Doesn't know that. Oh,
close.
Anyway, that's one for another time. So we got that.
The stress continues. It sounds like something out of Back to the Future.
Yes, but it's not.
No.
Sorry.
Right, let's go. So that was a really, really positive thing. Have we got any rants? And
a
question.
Rant.
We ask, has anyone got a question?
I didn't think of a question.
Have you got a question?
I haven't got a question. You got a question?
No, because it's always me asking a question.
Yeah, I forget this bit.
Right, have you got a rant, Lise?
I've got a little rant,
right, you do. You rant. Half, think of a question.
Oh,
quick,
God.
Get on your phone.
Get on your phone. Would you want to phone someone?
No, like Google it.
Oh, I thought he was going to like phone Keith Chegwin or something.
Ask a friend.
Cheggers.
Cheggers. Wake up, you
around?
Beggars. No,
he
died.
Oh, the late Keith Chegwin.
Yeah.
The
late. Wake up, you beggars. It's Cheggers.
I was with a chap called Keith.
Keith?
When we found out Keith Chegwin died. And this lad's brother, Keith's brother, messaged him to say, congratulations, you're now my favourite Keith. True story.
Wow. Anyway, I think that's amazing that Keith Chegwin was his favourite Keith.
Just winded his brother up. It
was Wake Up You Beggars, It's Cheggers. That was
Big Breakfast. Yeah.
I used to love it. Do you remember Denise Van Outen as the Raving Nun?
Yeah.
Yes.
She used to
go
out of cupboard
he
raving.
He came to Shaftesbury, didn't he, Keith Chegwin?
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole bit of him going around Shaftesbury.
Whereabouts was he?
Not on 10 Acres.
On
was
Chris Roberts' mum's door.
Knocking on the doors.
There you go. I wonder if anyone's got any photos of that. Because you see on like Facebook and stuff, people post it.
Yeah.
If there's any photos of anyone, photograph of Cheggers.
Like
I've seen a video
night.
Of it.
Yeah.
It comes around every now and then on social media.
There you go. We need to see that. Someone share it. Tag a brave and determined.
Yes.
So rants, Lise.
My rant. We probably may have discussed this before. I don't know. But on Saturday, I went shopping, bought this nice jumper that I'm wearing.
So Lise walks in tonight with a Manhattan Running Club. Central Park, New York jumper.
It's a nice sweater.
It's a nice sweater. Me and Harv obviously thought, oh, you went out with the Manhattan Running Club when you were in New York, she says.
No, I bought it in Primark. But also, while I was in Primark, I bought two pairs of jeans. Same shop. One of them was an extra small and one of them was a size 12. How does that work?
What do you mean?
Well, because an extra small is not a size 12. So there were two pairs of jeans, same shop, but two totally different sizes.
I'm confused, Lise. Did you get them one from where it said extra small, one from where it says size 12?
Yeah, so they're two separate pairs of jeans, but they both fit me.
Oh,
and I'm like, how does
I
that
think
work?
That was the key bit of information we were looking for.
Yeah, that was the bit I needed to know, because I thought you were saying like one of them fitted and one didn't.
No, they both fit.
Did you think that?
I was trying to think of a question.
So, yeah, they both fitted me. One was an extra small, one was a size 12. How are we ever meant to know
extra
what size
small?
We are? Yeah. I really liked them. And I was like, oh, they're an extra small. I was like, oh, wonder if I can squeeze into those. And so I took them on, tried them on, and they fit exactly the same as the size 12.
But I've seen...
Tried them on in the shop?
Yeah.
I've seen, like, online, people do this thing where they get loads of pairs of jeans, women's jeans.
Yeah.
It's always with women's clothes. They're all the same size, and then put them together, like, by the waistband.
Yeah,
and they're
ridiculous.
All different sizes.
How are we
sizes?
Ever supposed to know what size we are? I wouldn't pick an extra small off the shelf.
What did you say?
Like,
how are we supposed to know what size we are?
Yeah, no, what did you...
Is that your question?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah, just make sizes one size.
That is odd, especially in the same shop. Like, you kind of get it if you went to
different
Levi's
brand, yeah.
and then
totally.
Another...
But yeah, in the same shop.
Jean make.
Yeah.
Same, yeah.
Jean makes, are there?
Wranglers.
Oh, yeah.
This is why you've got
school.
A
little Wrangler.
Does anyone wear Wranglers?
What make
days?
Are those?
Oh, these are just, these are like, they're not.
Hugo Boss.
These are not Boss. No.
So, yeah, just make the same.
I think Levi's over Wranglers, but I do love a Wrangler.
Get out of it.
Oh, I don't think I know anyone who wears a Wrangler these days.
I wear a
Where'd you buy a Wrangler from?
There you go. He
There's
wears
a
Wranglers.
Man who likes a Wrangler.
Yep.
I reckon what
I
we
do
need,
like a Wrangler.
We always need an echo on you all the time, David.
I don't think we
because
do.
You're like the font of knowledge in the background. Yeah. Can you put an echo on that mic?
Probably.
That's a little bit of homework for you there, PD.
Stand by.
Hang on.
Nope.
This is where he could all go wrong. No.
Mm.
Right, we'll carry on. You play with that.
Yeah.
So, have you got a rant?
Question?
Oh, well, do you want a question or a rant?
Have you got a question?
Yeah, I've got a question.
All right, we'll come to that in a minute. Rant first.
Rant first. Our toilet paper. You know this rant was coming out.
Did your finger go through it?
Oh. Well, no, well, close. It's the toilet paper where it comes out of the little hole and you can only take one piece at a time.
Oh, yeah. Why was I with you when we were talking about that?
We were in the toilet.
Yeah, he wasn't sat down and I
No,
was
it's when we did the 10K.
Was it
in those toilets?
Worst invention in the world.
Oh, you said, as you came out, you said, I've got a rant.
Yeah.
Didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's that, in, like, first of all, it's like one ply stuff.
So you just had a poo before your race?
Yeah, because I was running.
Yeah, I had a poo before the race.
If you go to a running event, it's just queues of people waiting to use the toilet.
Ooh.
At least I went into a toilet. I didn't do it in front of everyone.
Well, no. But like, you didn't do it at home.
No, I got there and I thought,
I didn't want it at home too.
Yeah, oh. I need a poo.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Pre-run poos. Anyway, that toilet roll, regardless of the run or not, it's just not. It's just crap. Literally crap.
It's the thing is pulling. You've got to pull one
you
piece
pull
at a time.
Of them out.
And I saw.
Oh, it gets stuck and you can't get any.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen someone who, for a practical joke, has pulled one out and then pushed the one that's now sticking out back in, and then the one in his hand, he's pushed that back in. So the next person who sits down pulls it and then has got no toilet roll.
Yeah, it's
that's
worse
me.
When it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because also, there's no one monitors how many you take, do they? So the idea is that you take like one piece and you're not wasting toilet roll.
Well, nobody's taking one piece, are they?
No, you're an absolute buffoon if you use one piece.
But I don't have a poo in public.
Well, how many pieces do you use at home then? Just one?
I'm a real
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Wrap it round,
yeah. Half a roll.
Yeah.
Well, I use more than one bit. If I was blowing my nose, I'd use more than one bit.
But what is your... Sorry, Harv, to question your rant. Is your rant about the style of the delivery of toilet paper?
The delivery of toilet paper, the quality of the toilet paper.
Yeah.
The fact that it's just a shit invention that doesn't need...
What, toilet paper? Or
No. Toilet paper is a very important invention.
I am
pro-toilet paper. I am not pro-individually, like, being rationed one-ply toilet paper and have a stupid little fucking hole.
But there wasn't a security guard saying, only take one of them, was there?
You can
help yourself.
Yeah, no.
The weird thing about that, though, because I was there, not in the cubicle
not at
with
same
him,
time.
But how there was no men's or women's. They were just all... It was an open floor
Ooh.
For anyone to go in.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a lot of, and I mean, I don't want to be like sexist. There's a lot of blokes there who were, you know, they got a deposit to make.
Yeah.
And then the poor girls are going in there thinking, well, I'm not pooing
Nothing
in public.
Worse than going in a, like Portaloo after a bloke.
Yeah. And again, I'm not generalising that no women poo in public. I'm sure there are, but I know men are more pro pooing in public than women. I would say that as a general statement.
It's me missing something now. When you say pooing in public,
as in like in public places,
as in not like some people they reserve it for at home only,
right?
And they won't go anywhere else
in a public restroom.
Oh, okay.
Like
everywhere I go, I'm like I need a poo.
Yeah.
No. It's like
Whereas
a new thing, isn't it?
I'm not too sure. I'd go in your house.
So what's the intersection of the Venn diagrams of people who do running events and who only poo at home?
Because
I'll take Imodium to not poo in public.
Yeah, I know. I know others do that.
Yeah. So if I'm running, I'll do a poo at home and then I'll take some Imodium so I don't go.
Wow. There you go.
There you go. So yeah. I didn't poo on my 75k walk because I took Imodium all day.
I love how much Lee shares.
It is amazing. I was just thinking then, the amount of conversations I've had with Lee about her pooing.
You don't like it, do you?
Women pooing in general is a bit of an ick for me, but well, it happens, you know, I get
it. Yeah, we're all human, aren't we?
Shit happens.
Shit happens. And when it does happen, you deserve more than one sheet of one ply fucking.
Yeah, you're right. And I had to experience the same thing not long after you had left. I didn't go in the same one.
No, you used to have a side of the paper.
Well, and it'd be a bit weird if I'm like, no, I'm waiting for this one because my mate's in there.
I know he doesn't do a smelly poo.
One place you don't want to follow me.
No, exactly. My rant this week, and I had to question you guys on whether I'd ranted on this before, baggage carriers, as in the carousels, at airports. Have I ever ranted about
this? I
don't think you have.
I want to hear it.
Right, what I love, you get off a flight, you know, you've done, I don't know, could be an hour, could be 15 hours. No one remembers what their luggage looks like. That's my first bit, is people go up to go, oh, and they pick it up and they're looking at it like they've never seen their luggage before in their life, and they're looking for their label and they're thinking, is that mine? Is this mine? Does anyone know? And they're walking along the side of it, you know, as they're trying to look at this bag and go, is it mine? And then, you know, it's bright red with your name Dave written across the middle of it, and they're going, is this mine? No, it's not. You know, that's the first bit. People forget what their luggage looks like. And I always think, you literally saw that 7 hours ago.
Yeah, you packed it.
Yeah, and you probably only got one suitcase.
Yeah.
It's not like you go, which one did I bring?
Yeah,
like we don't have loads of suitcases, do we?
And then the other rant about this is the baggage starts coming out. And of course, everyone's in a rush. As anywhere you go, everyone's in a rush. And what people do is they walk up to the baggage carousel and they stand about 3 centimetres away from me.
Yeah. You do that.
Yeah. I want to stand there and shout, everyone, take a step back.
It is because ridiculous.
If everyone just stepped back a bit, one, everyone would be able to see.
Yeah.
And two, you could get your case without one taking out a little kid or hitting some old deer in the knees with it. I don't know why people do it. And everyone's in such a rush to clear customs. Yeah. It's going to take you an extra 30 seconds.
When I landed in Thailand and I'd had a 13-hour flight, I think
it was. Did you forget completely what your luggage looked like?
No, I knew exactly what it looked like. And I knew I wanted to get my hands on it. And I waited and I waited and I waited and the thing didn't appear. And what had happened, someone had beat me to it, done the thing that you said, where they forget what their luggage looks like.
And took yours?
They realised it wasn't theirs and they just left it.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Where was it?
It was about, I don't know, 15 yards away in the other direction. They'd gone, oh, that isn't mine. I'll just leave that here.
Oh, I always think as well, like, if you packed a load of crap stuff, are you better off just taking someone else's?
What a gamble.
Yeah, like you think that
luggage might... Yeah, you see the old Louis Vuitton going around.
That's exactly
I love that one.
You go, God, someone's
trouble. If you're coming back from Thailand, they're all Louis Vuitton. Yeah. And none of them are Louis Vuitton.
What surprises me, though, is that no one has the same case.
Well, not always. I have seen...
Have you?
I travel with, his case is canary yellow.
Oh, I love the people who've got a photo, like they're a picture on the front or something.
And it's proper, like an old suitcase where you carry it.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So he is literally, you know his. Yeah. Like I've said to him before, he's like, oh, I'm just going to nip to the toilet. I'm like, how will I know which one's your bag? Like, it is literally the only one in the world like that.
Yeah.
So I think that explains your problem, your initial rant.
Mm.
The fact that so many bags look similar. That's the reason why people
spend their time. Bag.
You think it's because they can't tell what their bag looks like, but it's because their bag looks like lots of other bags.
My bag is black and square. But if you had to draw a suitcase,
red. Yeah, but we all put something on our bags.
Yeah, a tie bit of
yeah.
Well, in fact, ribbon around the old. I didn't put anything on mine.
Do you tie because
it's black. One that's
exactly.
The
ribbon.
Yeah, you know yours is
black and square. So there you go. That's my rant. What's your question?
Is that your baggage?
Yeah, I feel like I've offloaded my baggage.
Rim shot me.
Yay! Half is like
seamless.
You
can up said.
Your dad. Yeah, that's gonna up your dad joke.
Okay, my question.
Go.
We got time for this?
Yes.
Yeah, we got 1 minute.
I didn't have a lot of time to think about this. So, superpowers or super talents.
Ooh.
You can either play any instrument. You know how to play any instrument in the world.
Yeah.
Or speak any language in the world.
Yeah.
What are you having?
Oh, speak any language.
Language.
Oh, that easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you would though, wouldn't you? What would you do?
Oh, language.
Oh, right.
Instrument.
Would you? Which instrument,
that,
PD?
I saw,
and what language?
The Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra play some Star Wars songs a few weeks ago. It was amazing.
Yeah, I bet
and
was.
I was sat there, I was like, I wish I could play an instrument like that.
It's really, you talented people playing an instrument is very impressive. Yeah. What instrument?
But the more useful skill would be the languages, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Well, I don't know if it's just because I can play it, but not very well, but that would be the piano. I think it was going to be something I could play to.
You look like a man who tickles the ivories. Anyway, so
that's the bad.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that was my other positive thing, actually.
Go on.
Reminds me, it's lighter in the evening.
Yes.
Oh yeah, it is.
And in the mornings, it's lovely.
What languages you speak, Harv? I thought you were going to go Austin Powers then and say the international language of love.
Yeah. No, I think it's a bit boring, but I'd love to be fluent French, I think.
Oh. Yeah. What about you, Lise?
I think I'd go Italian.
So for me, it would be a Latin language for sure.
Well, it opens a lot of doors.
This sounds like that I've thought about it a lot. The most spoken language other than Chinese is Spanish. So I'd probably go with Spanish because it's Latin and then you can pick
South
up
American.
And you can pick up Italian and German and
Portuguese.
French. Portuguese.
They don't like it, but you can do.
Yeah,
do both.
So I would go Spanish because then it would open doors.
I've changed my answer.
What would you go for?
Spanish.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that. Something like crazy, like, I don't know, the Afrikaans.
No. Chinese would be a fun one, wouldn't it?
I think that would be amazing if you could speak Chinese. Yeah. Like for us as English people trying to learn Chinese. Mm. Obviously for the Chinese, it's pretty simple.
It's easier, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would say they've got a head start.
Yeah. PD, he's holding his mic.
This is a bit of a twit thing to say because I could be very wrong. But isn't it the case that there's lots of different Chinese languages?
There is certainly more than one. More
dialects.
Like Mandarin is the one.
Cantonese.
The international thing, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's a very good point, PD. But yes, I'd go Spanish.
Spanish.
Italian.
I bet there's a better answer out there, though. I bet there's someone who's got a better answer than that. So come, hit us. Hit us with but if you could play a musical instrument, what would it be?
It's got to be a guitar. It's got to be a guitar, yeah.
I don't know. I think piano. Because you can whip that out anywhere, can't you?
What, a piano?
A fucking piano. Oh, Elise, you come over for dinner, bring your piano.
Bring the grand.
You know sometimes you go out.
All the instruments.
I like to train stations and there's a piano there. Yeah. And you think, oh, I could be that person who just starts like...
Yeah, you're talking about the talent you can
I can play
out.
The song from Big on the piano and that's my repertoire.
I can do Chopsticks.
Oh,
on a piano.
I can do the start of Deeper Underground by Jamiroquai.
Oh,
yeah, cool. That's it. We need a piano.
Very nice.
Let's get a piano. There was a piano in a ferry terminal in Canada that I was in, and there was a guy who just obviously walked past.
I love that when you watch it online on Instagram and you see people.
I reckon you two know me well enough to know what instrument I would play if I could.
Drums.
Absolutely. 100%.
I realize mime doesn't work for a podcast, but I did mime.
Yeah, Harv's mimed it. That's right, the drums. Yeah, I would. I'd love to be able to play the drums really well.
Drummer's
always
hot in bands as well, aren't
they? The drummer's always the hot one and always the one who's like at the back.
The drummer's always the hot one.
Yeah,
Phil Collins.
Dougie from McFly.
Yeah, good.
Dougie from McFly.
No, he doesn't. No, Harry
Lars
from McFly.
Lars from Metallica. He's a good looking lad.
Yeah, the one armed guy from Def Leppard.
Oh, now you're talking.
We are totally proving this right.
Sorry, it's Harry from McFly. Plays the drummer, not Dougie.
Right, guys, we are at time. We're actually over time. So. Sing us out, Lise. What you got?
What are we going to
sing? It's got to be a McFly song for sure.
It's all about you. It's all about you, baby.